We want to greet each of you to the service this morning, and we're sorry we can't be there yet, but we appreciate your prayers for me. This morning is Father's Day, and so I want to speak on the subject of a loving father. And to begin with, I want to read Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy thou shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Father, thank you for this morning, and I pray that we thank you for each father that is here, and each father that is in other churches. And Father, we pray that this message might be a one of blessing for each one, as well as everyone else. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. This Psalm 128 is talking about fathers. Notice verse 4 says, the man. And verse 3 says, his wife and his children. It talks about the father that in verse 1 says is blessed. And in verse 6 says enjoys peace. And verse 2 says is happy. Such a father, verse 1, fears the Lord or loves the Lord and obeys the Lord. He walks in his ways. And verse 3 says his wife is as a fruitful vine. She is the one, of course, who bears the children and beautifies the home. And it says that the children are as olive plants, like shoots growing up around the tree. Why as olive shoots? Well, olive trees produce olives for food, and it's from them which oil comes from that is used for medicine and is used as oil in lamps, which produces light, and was used in ceremonies for anointing kings and priests. Also, olive oil pictures the Holy Spirit. Now, this tells us that children are useful to God in the home as well as to others. And this whole scene pictures a busy, beautiful, healthy, happy, and spirit-filled home that has the blessing of God upon it. All of this speaks of one ingredient that permeates this home, and that ingredient is love. As we said, today is Father's Day, and we acknowledge and show appreciation to our fathers. There are a lot of fathers, but each Christian home needs more than just a father. It needs a loving father. Love is the missing ingredient in many homes today. And though love needs to characterize every member of the family, it must characterize the father who is the center of our attention today. We want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Notice Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." See, fathers are to love both their wives and their children. Now let's think of the wife, first of all, as it mentioned in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Love as Christ loved the church. That means we must be unselfish. What is most important in our lives? Is it making ourselves happy or making our wife happy? Is it doing what we want to do or what she wants to do? Does it consider our needs first or her needs? Our good or her good? You see, the Bible says we are to love as Christ loved the church. That means we must be unselfish. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, fathers were to be like-minded as Christ was. And then verse 6 says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or a thing to cling to be equal with God." Now, being equal with the Father meant that Jesus has all power and all authority and is sovereign over all. And yet, notice verse 7, "He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." You see, Jesus chose to step down because of his love for us. He chose to empty himself of his rightful position, and he became a servant. He came also to experience a much lower place. And notice verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." You see, though Jesus is the sovereign God over all, he chose to step down and experience sorrow and unimaginable, indescribable suffering and pain. Now, let's apply this to the Father. Notice in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So, as fathers, we must not be thinking about ourselves and be self-centered, but we must think about our wife and our mother, our wife and our children, and we must be loving and unselfish to them. Also, we need to be understanding. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You see, we are to dwell with them according to knowledge. We are to be understanding. God made the woman different, and generally, women are not as strong physically as the man. But we need to understand that and be considerate concerning what we expect her to do. Wives are responders. They are made happy by compliments and endearing words like, I love you, and little acts of kindness and sympathy and encouragement. They love to be spoken well of before others. And so we're to be understanding of our wives and our children. And then also, we're to be patient. We're to love as Christ loves, which means being patient. 1 Corinthians 13, and we won't turn there, but says, love is long-suffering. In other words, it is patient. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, before this, it's talking about judgment coming. And it says, the Lord is long-suffering. He's been waiting a long time. And he waits because he desires sinners to come to Christ. And he wants to give them plenty of opportunity. Now, we're waiting for the rapture of the church. And it seems like it's so close. But every day that goes by, God is giving sinners an opportunity to come to Christ. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, we read, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, and that you may glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God patiently works with us, and we need to demonstrate the same characteristic. We need to demonstrate that patience to our wives and to our children. Also, we need to be an example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we read, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. You see, Christ left heaven's glory, came to earth, in order that he might die and suffer on the cross. He gave an example that we should show to our wives and our children and to others. We should show them the example of true love. Psalm 128, which we read earlier, says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, or loveth the Lord, and that walketh in his ways. You see, blessing from God comes by acknowledging His greatness in showing reverence as a result, and in showing obedience in walking in His ways. A loving father will want God's blessing, and more than anything in the world will desire it for his family. Therefore, he will take the lead and show by example what it is to reverence God, to walk with the Lord. There are many children and some wives who will not see the importance of doing what is not important enough for the fathers to show by example. If we want to be an example, then we must not only teach, but we must show God's love and the importance of God's word. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we read, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." And then verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart." In our heart means that they are a part of us, and we show them by example. And then verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up again." You see, these same things concerning love toward our wife are true toward our children also. We need to show them by example the importance of God's word and following the Lord and loving Him and obeying Him. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Our children need to see unselfishness and understanding and patience and the example of godliness. We must not provoke them to become justifiably angry. We must not be unreasonable with them and be inconsistent. We must not expect from them what we are not willing to do ourselves. We must not be inconsiderate of their childish characteristics. And we must not let our expectation for spiritual growth and development be greater than what is realistic. We can expect them to obey rules and standards, but we must not demand convictions, because convictions are that which must be developed by them, not in trying to obey us. So we are not to provoke or exasperate them so that they feel, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want it. There is no use trying to live as a Christian should, because I can never please them anyway, or I can never meet their expectations anyway. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture an admonition of the Lord." You see, as fathers, we are to train them and teach them. When it says to bring them up in the nurture, that means to train. We are to have devotions with them. I still remember as a child growing up on the farm, every night we would gather in the living room and my parents would read God's word and then we would pray together. You see, they were teaching us the word of God and then training or nurturing means to bringing them to the services of the church. And we were taken to church every Sunday. And then taking them to other places. And I appreciate that our church is sending our youth to camp over at Clear Lake. You see, we are teaching them. We are training them in the Word of God. And then we must admonish them or teach them the Word of God. And also, as I said, devotions and then good books and so forth. We need to teach them God's Word. We need to love them enough to take them to the places where they can be taught God's word and teach them what they need in order to be saved and to grow in the Lord and to have God's blessing upon their lives. Yes, we need to be a loving father. We need to be a loving husband to our wife, and we need to be loving fathers to our children. And these things are true of all of us. Even if you're not a father, we need to have love, character. We need to have our life characterized by love and understanding. And we need to be an example of what it is to walk with the Lord and to fellowship with Him. Yes, we need to be loving men and women. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had together this morning. And I thank you for each one who was here. And Lord, help each of us to learn to love you more than anything in the world and to love those in our home, our wives and our children, and to love others. Pray that others might see Christ in us, that we might be a true example of what it is to love you and to walk with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.